Hey, Anna, it's been a long, long spring and summer, hasn't it?
That is for sure.
Well, the Mars Perseverance rover just left Earth, and it's going to take 203 days to get to Mars. 203 days. Imagine traveling through space for 203 days. I mean, we've been under quarantine for over 150 days. I don't know. What do you think? You think you can make 203?
If I can get out of my house, and that's about as far away from my house as I can get, so... Give me some Netflix, maybe some Us Weeklies. I think I'd be fine.
I mean, I have a new perspective on space travel. I mean, like, Scott Kelly's spending a year in space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spending 150 days in my house. But, I don't know. I think maybe I could do the space travel thing.
Oh, yeah. You would love it. Don't you think you'd... I could see you really being into this whole thing.
I mean, I love the isolation anyway. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But you know, you as a people person, I don't know.
Well, am I by myself? You didn't say I was by myself. I didn't know there was
Oh, yeah, you're by yourself.
Oh, I'm by myself?
Yeah, it's you and the rover. That's it for 203 days.
Oh. Let me revise my answer. Make it back to you.
I'm just thinking with all this, like, you know, the distance it takes to go to places, this is how I'm measuring my quarantine time. If I can make it through quarantine, I could actually make it to Mars.
That could be like you're the case you pitched to NASA when this is all over. Like, look, I didn't even notice that we were quarantined. I just wanted to stay home, so send me to Mars.
Hey,
you can persevere through it.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
I think we got something here. That should be, that's the theme of quarantine. Perseverance.
That's
perfect.
Sure.
From the home studios and Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, and we're back after a pandemic hiatus. If we sound a little different, we're recording remotely, but we are so happy to be back with you. All right, so you said 150 days we've been under quarantine?
Thereabouts, yep.
I imagine you with, like someone on a desert island, like, clicking, like, putting, like, little sticks and then, like, crossing through every fifth one, like, 150 days, like,
that's right.
Can you believe this is happening?
I can't. It's really strange. I mean, yeah, it's like I put little check marks on my telescope for every day that every night that I've been going through this. And it's I don't know, the little routines starting to happen, like, you know, they're kind of getting more and more elaborate and more things. But it's been interesting being at an observatory that's had, you know, we're so used to having the public over here, and it's been really difficult to be closed for a while, and now we're starting to open up for a little bit. And
you were starting to, like, twitch
a little bit.
You were like,
a little bit,
for not being a quote unquote people person. You were like, I need to educate people. I need to, like, show this observatory to people.
Oh, that's right. I did say that, didn't I?
I think I actually heard the, like, verbatim was like the quote. Like, I need. And honestly, at first, I was like, oh, I can catch up on some things. This will be, but then very quickly, it was like, this is so sad. Like, the building looks so empty and lonely.
And it's been, what's been really amazing is the online stuff we've been doing. Like, you know, that we can't see as many people in person. Like, we have these big events at the observatory to see Jupiter and Saturn that we couldn't do because you can't have more than 12 people at our place. But our
not safe
online,
anyway.
Our online, yeah, I mean, we do these online classes that we have more people for the online classes than for anything. And so I think my words were that I need to perform. I couldn't believe that I was like, I needed an audience. Like, I went like 3 weeks without an audience. I was like, okay, I got to figure out a way to talk to people.
Yeah. Who knew you were so theatrical, but you, like, you, I was really surprised. I was like, really? This is, I thought you would be like, we're just going to ride this out. It'll be fine.
This is good. I thought that's how it was going to be. It's like, oh, I don't need to talk to anybody. This is awesome. But no, apparently this is what I've learned, is I need people.
Yeah.
This is that, you know, the picture of outer space. We're all in this little globe and all on this little planet. We're flying through space. And who knew? It needed this for me to really figure out that, I need to talk to people still.
Shocking. But, you know, you're right. The online thing has been, sort of interesting because we always say that being at the observatory is so powerful, and I definitely believe that. But it's so exciting that we can still, I'm sorry, you, I'm not doing anything. You can
You're still, out there too. Sorry,
I'm not bringing science education to the masses. I'm just, you know, but I'm saying you can still do education programs and our ed team can work with students and everybody. I mean, it's just, it's very cool actually.
Yeah, it's very space agey in a way, like that we can link to so many people around the country. So, you know, if we have a class at the observatory, maybe people would drive, you know, an hour at the most to come to a class or something like that. But here we can have people, and I can do a talk about the planets, and people from Arizona and California and other places around the country can tune in. Mm-hmm. We've also been popular enough to be spammed that we've been, that we've had people drop into classes, and we've also had people bootleg copies of my talks.
Are you kidding me?
I know, that's how popular we're getting.
Well,
is that a good sign or a bad sign when you've been bootlegged?
You know, Dean, any way that I can make a buck during, I mean, it wasn't me.
That was you?
That wasn't me. That's crazy.
I thought it was somebody from somewhere, some other country, but okay, I guess it was.
Definitely someone from a different country. I'm just kidding, it was not me. But I do think that means you've made it. If people are trying to steal the stuff that you're charging from, it's like, wow.
I'm like, oh, I got to take this spam down. But a part of me is like, well, not quite so fast. Maybe they'll like it.
You're like, darn you, spammers. How dare you? Right. Now let me teach you about the red planet.
That's right. spreading my words somewhere else without my permission. But maybe I liked it. I don't know.
Pretty amazing.
But so then the other kind of fun thing is when we've started open up at the observatory, kind of the creative ways that we've kind of gotten back into it, because we have the telescopes. We want people to look through telescopes.
Safely.
Safely. That's the big thing. And so that's what we're trying to figure out what to do in April and May, just saying, okay, well, if we want people to look through telescopes, we can't just like have them take turns and put their eye up to the telescope mm-hmm. and all that. So we were testing all these other ways of doing it. Like you can put cameras on it. You can have, there's these cell phone camera adapters that you can just put your phone into it and then attach it right to the eyepiece, and you can take the pictures yourself, and then you've got them. You don't have to touch the telescope.
Which people would want a good picture telescope when they come.
It's not a bad picture either. And they get to take it home with them. The first time we did that with the group, people were taking pictures of stars. Because we didn't have, the moon wasn't up, so they're taking pictures of the star Vega. They were taking pictures of star Vega, and they were so excited when they showed me the picture. They're like, "Oh my gosh, look at this! I got a picture of Vega." And I'll be honest, it was just a blue dot, you know. But they got it. They got the blue dot, and it was Vega, and they were so excited, and I was excited for them.
Were you? Because it sounds like you were kind of like big whoop.
I was big wolf, but they were, but when they were excited, then they made me excited. Cause I thought, oh boy, it's just a dot, but people really get excited about this dot of light that came from 25 light years. And so, but this is the thing is, yeah, this is what's the big transition's been is seeing what people are going through with all this too. They really want to look through the scopes and, So then we made another thing to look directly through the scope. We call them total optics protection tops.
Did you make that up?
No, somebody gave me that one.
But it's pretty good.
It's not bad. So it's an eyepiece on top of an eyepiece. So they carry around this eyepiece guard that they can go from telescope to telescope. And they put that over top of the telescope, look through it, then carry it around from scope to scope. And so they never touch the telescope. Their germs don't get on the telescope.
They don't breathe on the telescope.
They don't breathe on the telescope. And so it was, so that's been working really well too. So we got to patent that one. That's for sure.
So this conversation is trademarked and copywritten, and we'll be hearing from our lawyer, spammers.
Automatic. And that means you, Anna. You don't steal this idea. I need this one, Anna. This is my retirement package here.
You know, I feel like I had a hand in that. I didn't do anything. I was just like, we need to make sure nobody gets sick from looking at the telescope. And then I was like,
that was your contribution.
Have at it.
Your contribution was, no, you can't let people look through the telescope. And then I had to come up with a solution. So
you know, somebody has to be the adult. No, you know, you don't ever want to be like, you know, well, you actually do like dropping the hammer, but I mean, just saying, I do think it's incredible though that we have pivoted so quickly for an organ, you know. It can be hard to get, make changes and deal with change. And we just like did it. I mean, I guess I have to give you some credit because you did like make a lot of it happen or whatever. But
it was the whole team. It was the whole
team. The whole team. But you're taking all the credit for the tops thing so you can get all the royalties.
That is correct.
Or whatever it is from the same.
No, that goes global. It was a volunteer. It was like a group of volunteers that were trying to like figure this out. And we kind of. One person threw out the idea and then another person made design. Then I made the design. And then it just like, yeah, it was this cool process. So we'll share it online. The TOPS system.
It's the top.
It is the TOPS. And maybe other observatories can use it too.
Yeah. Well, things were still happening in space just because we were on quarantine. The universe was like, guess what? Stuff's happening. And one of the exciting things that turned out to kind of be a big deal was NEOWISE.
Oh yeah, that comet. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. It was we were looking at these other comets that fizzled out and turned to nothing, and then this comet comes around out of the blue and became great. This comet NEOWISE, the best comet that I'd seen since Hale-Bopp, which was back in 97. Now that's not saying a whole lot.
But you weren't that excited about it. I'm not trying to like call you out, but you were like thinking it wasn't going to be a thing, I feel like, at first, right? Or am I thinking something different?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been burned by too many comet pretenders out there. You get your heart set on these comets and then they just fade away and
they just spam you and go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They ghost you. That's what they do. They show up and they text and they're like, and then you go look for them and they're like ghosted. They're gone.
That's it. Sorry.
That's been the history of comets since Hale-Bopp. Like they're like, oh, this one's going to be good. This one's going to be good. And so, I mean, just before NEOWISE, there were two of them that they said, these ones are going to be good.
Really?
Nothing. So I was very skeptical. And then the other thing was to see the comet initially, you had to wake up early in the morning. So you had to get up, you know, 4 a.m, which was not super exciting to me. That's for sure. So,
clearly you don't have children.
So finally one morning I was like, well, I guess I better look at it. Everybody's taking these gorgeous pictures of it. And so came up to the observatory and viewed out through the side. It really was spectacular. I mean, in a telescope, you could see the nucleus, you could see the tail, you could see the coma around it. It was really awesome. And it was definitely worth getting up early in the morning. And then when it switched to the evening sky, it was faded a little bit, but you could still see it pretty well with binoculars.
Like what time in the evening? Like later?
Right after dark. Well, so it was about 10 o'clock at night or so.
Because it's summer, so it gets...
Yeah, towards and later on in July. And so it got higher up in the sky. And so one of the things is that as people heard more about it, they started showing up at the observatory. And so like I'm out there like with a group that... You know, signed up ahead of time and signed their waiver about being in public with us.
Have their masks on.
They have their masks on. They have their TOPS system. They have their total optics protection thing going. And I'm like, okay, yeah, look up there. And that's where the comet is. And then, like, I turn around and there's, like, 40 of the public just standing behind me, like, just kind of creepily in a little way. Because, it's, you know, it's dark. And then you turn around and just notice there's people behind you.
This reminds me of, like, a zombie movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It was very zombie-like because they're looking up in the sky where we're pointing.
Wandering around.
But they don't have a telescope or binoculars, so they can't see the comet. And so there's always one person that is brave, and he or she would come up closer and be like, so what are you guys looking at? Like really innocently. Or like, the comet. And then somebody else says, can we look? And I'm like, no. Well,
you're like, I'm so glad you asked. Absolutely not.
Nicer than that. I said, well, you know, we're with this group and we have to be very cautious. We can't everybody take turns looking through the telescope. And I was like, it did hurt me to say this. I had no joy in turning them down, but I had to say, yeah, we can't let you guys take turns in the scopes because we got to protect the people. And
I'm shocked you weren't just like, get on over here. Like, I really am. When you said you didn't let, I was like, really? That's shocking.
Actually, it was the opposite. There was another person with a telescope, one of our volunteers, and he was letting people look through the scope, anybody, and I had to go over and break it up. I'm like, no, you can't look. No, you can't look through that scope. And like, I don't know. I was like the scope police.
That's like antithetical to everything that you've done the last 20 years.
I know. I know. Like, that's what hurts. Did it feel so much,
like you were like the upside down or something?
But I also don't want to be the COVID astronomer either.
You don't want to be like, patient zero in a very, very localized COVID outbreak.
Everybody traces back to that one night of the comet.
You're the common, the link. Yeah, you don't want to be that.
So yeah, that hurt quite a bit, but it was cool to see so many people out, and some people did have their own binoculars and were able to check it out. And
there's some good pictures of it.
Oh yeah, I mean the pictures were highly exaggerated. That's not what they look like, but it was cool.
I meant the real ones.
Yeah, the real ones. Those were exaggerated. Yeah, those were. It's all Photoshopped. So they did some enhancements. They're all Photoshopped. I know.
Let me have this one thing. I thought the pictures were very pretty because I didn't get to see it.
You didn't?
No.
You were one of those people I turned down, weren't you?
I was standing in the back like, hey, come on, let us through. And you were all like, no. And I was like, oh, God.
And then you're like, rush him. Go ahead.
That's right. We can take him.
We can take him. He's skinny.
We can totally overpower him. It'll be fine.
And then I got the green laser. I said, back up.
It was like your, whatever the thing from Star Wars is. Yeah, your lights.
Yeah. I'm in charge here. Nobody looked through his scope.
Oh, man. It got ugly. Yeah.
Yeah, that was you. That was me. Good to know.
It was me kind of instigating from in the back, that voice. Like, but I'm sure it was, I'm excited that it was something fun. I feel like people were excited for something that was not like, COVID related, and they really embraced it, which is kind of fun.
It was totally the excuse to get outside and get out with your friends and family
at whatever time.
Your pod that you're with, and so I think it was a good. And then we had all the full moons were big news. The five planets were visible in the morning sky. Yep. The space station. There was lots of stuff in the news, and then we got this Mars rover heading out. So much for stuff to talk about. So much for us to talk about in upcoming episodes.
I can't wait. All right. Well, something that we get asked a lot and is, of course, timely as we're all, you're keeping people from the telescopes, but as people are, interested in the observatory and what we're doing, is we get asked a lot from kids and adults, actually, is what is the farthest thing that we can see in our observatory telescopes?
Oh yeah, that's like one of the most common questions we get. They're under the dome, they're looking at the scope.
Can I tell you what I tell them? And you can tell me if it's right or not. I say that we can see most things in our solar system. That's all I'm like, we could see within our solar system. Bye.
Yes, that is correct, but it's not the farthest thing you can see through the telescope. So,
well, they should be more specific.
They should be more specific. That is correct. Again, we're going to blame the questioner again. So no, this is the farthest thing you can see through our telescope. We can see all the planets. So everything in our solar system that's big. So we can see Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn.
Okay, that seems like I'm right so far.
We cannot see Pluto in our telescopes. It is a little bit too faint. It's beyond the detection of our humble telescopes, but could be visible in bigger telescopes.
Okay.
But that's all in the solar system, which is relatively close. Like we're talking hundreds of millions to billions of miles is close. So the stars you see at night are way, way, way farther away. Those are trillions of miles away. So the farthest stars we could see with the telescope are some that are 2,000-3,000 light years away. So those are the farthest stars. But the farthest thing that we regularly can see through the telescope would be the Andromeda Galaxy, which is about 2.5 million light years away. An entire galaxy, just about like the Milky Way, maybe a little bit bigger than the Milky Way, with billions and billions of stars. And that's usually the farthest thing we can show people. But if you're in a darker sky away from the city, and maybe you have a good telescope, you can see some other galaxies that are even farther, like a galaxy called Triangulum, a galaxy called the Whirlpool Galaxy. Those would be out there a little bit farther. And then maybe M87, which doesn't have a cool nickname.
I was going to say, like, you get like Triangulum, then Andromeda, Whirlpool, and then M87.
Yeah, we really dropped the ball on that one. We gotta come up with something for that one. M87. I don't know. Well, we'll come up with something.
Startron Galaxy.
Well, that could be one of our questions. You know, name M87. We'll show you a picture. See what you think it looks like.
Love it.
But thanks for the question. That's a good one. Yeah, farthest stuff we could see are galaxies, most definitely.
That's it for this episode of Looking Up. We are so happy to be back, and thanks so much for joining us.
It's been fun sharing some of our favorite episodes with you during our downtime, but you'll find the archives of all our past episodes at wvxu.org/lookingup.
You can subscribe to Looking Up wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcasts user, we'd really appreciate a rating and comment. That helps others to find us.
Now that we're back, we're looking for great guests or topic ideas. So if you have one, definitely let us know. We're on Facebook and Twitter, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's W-H-Y ? From their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.